to Iteration, a weekly podcast about programming, development, and design. Hey, I'm John. I'm a software engineer at a tech startup. It feels funny to say something different there.
Oh, wow. You threw me for a loop because that's usually what I say.
Right, so, I took your thing.
So I'm JP, and I am also a software engineer at a tech startup. We just have so much in common now because you're working remote because you have a remote team. Yep. And now, at the time of recording this, and I feel like at the time that it's released, I'm also going to be working remote indefinitely until further notice. So to give some context, I guess we're just going to jump right in. So to give some context over that is, you know, today as of recording, it's like close to mid-March, and there's the outbreak of the coronavirus, COVID-19, which is becoming a lot more serious than, you know, I think we had realized back in, you know, the little rumblings back in January. So I think like all the companies in the Bay and a lot of tech companies in general are enforcing remote work. And I think it's because
all companies, a lot of people are switching to remote. It's for how serious and sad COVID-19 is. I'm happy about two things. One, it's going to inspire companies to actually have remote work culture because it's a forcing function right now. Like, we don't want to get hundreds or thousands of people in one place. It's just unsafe. Mm-hmm. Cut down travel. It keeps everybody safe. And two, men will actually wash their hands after using the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, it boggles my mind that's a statistic, that men don't wash their hands, because I feel like I wash my hands too much. And like, sometimes I'm like, I wonder if I use too much hand sanitizer. Maybe I'm just like a germaphobe or whatever, but like, the little hand wet where you just get like your three fingers in is like, that's hilarious to
just
me.
Just don't that's wash a if you're going to do that. That's worse. You're just giving it fuel. So anyway, all joking aside, coronavirus is super serious. And I thought it's really timely to talk about remote work, because I'm sure a lot of people listening have been asked to stay home from work. And so I've been working remote for about 5 years now, at least from home, officially for a company, been working remote for about 3 months now, but I've been working like out of a home office for a long time now. And since you're now working remote, I figure we can talk through it today. It's a good topic. So let's get into this thing. I guess to kick things off, let's kind of talk through what, you know, the day-to-day of a remote developer looks like. Does that sound good?
Yeah. So do you want me to start or do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay, cool. I'll go first. Okay, so for me, remote work is, how does this even begin? So I wake up and I get ready for my day as if I would be actually going to work. I think there's something to say about the mindset you go into your day. So you can't just like wake up, roll out of bed, still be in bed, you know, start your day, you know, have your first morning stand up, give your updates. I mean, sometimes you can if like you really just like are that tired or for whatever reason. But to me, remote work is going into my dedicated home office space, preparing myself as if I'm like actually going into work, showering, getting dressed, not feeling like I'm in my pajamas, you know, getting a cup of water, setting up. And like, I think just doing, having that ritual of my morning preparation makes me feel like I'm going into work, and that like I can get into the mood of actually sitting down, getting ready for meetings, getting ready to code, and shifting from I'm at home relaxing to I'm now at work only doing work related things.
Yeah.
So I do my morning ritual. I sit down. I plug my laptop into my computer. The first thing I do is I get on Slack, have my stand up, and then I get cranking. Like, I try to like have really good lighting, so I'm like awake. It feels like I'm in like an office. Yeah. And luckily my dedicated office space has doors. It's like actually a home office like area. So it's not just like a desk inside of a living room or whatever. I realize that some people aren't fortunate enough to have like a dedicated home office space, but I also like to close my doors. So it feels like I'm not at home.
Yeah.
And that's basically, you know, like what my day looks like. And, you know, when lunchtime approaches, I try to like get out of the house, and also not eat lunch at my desk. You know, so whether that's like staying outside for an hour or like sitting on my couch, we'll get into like what some of that looks like and maybe some of the pros and cons and like where the pain points are of like having your house be your office. yeah. But I think at a high level, that's sort of a long ramble of like how I go about my day. I'd be interested to see how, your day looks like and how that differs and how it's similar.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar in that I make sure to get ready for the day as if I'm going to the office. My wife she'll tease me sometimes because it's like, why do you like get totally dressed and like wear shoes and like a button-up t-shirt, like a button-up shirt? And it's like, because I'm like going to work. Like I do take a lot of video calls, so that's part of it. But, you know, I think there's a lot of value in getting up, getting ready. There's a mindset shift and it allows you to have a better division between your work and your home life, which I think is important, even though they are one and the same when you work remote. That can be like one of the biggest challenges and downsides. And like you mentioned really quickly about not eating lunch at your desk, you know, about letting your workspace be your workspace. There's a mental shift there that I think is really important. And yeah, so my workday is similar. We'll get into like some more of those specifics later. But yeah, so let's talk through some of the challenges of remote work. I think one of the biggest challenges for me is like the schedule for work. It just becomes intertwined with life. Like I lived in this state for like 2 years of just always working and always not working. Like it was this constant state. And like, if you actually like looked at how much I was quote like working, it was like 55, 60 hours a week, but it wasn't my most effective self. Like I would have this bad habit of like when I had more like rote code to write, I would turn on Netflix in the background and code on the couch. And this is a horrible idea. You're not enjoying, you're not escaping and you're not working. Like it's this terrible half. And it's the worst of both worlds. And I think that the number one challenge when working remote is making sure you have dedicated schedule and good discipline about actually letting your brain go of work and actually bringing your brain fully into work, because those are both important things to do. And I think the other piece that's a challenge is like there's no chatter. There's no ad hoc communication where you're like, you know, getting a bottle of water and you have that conversation like, oh, what are you working on? And what are your challenges right now? And not only from an interpersonal standpoint, but from like your manager knowing what you're working on in that passive way, you don't have that. You like live in an island in yourself. So those are two of my biggest challenges that are like always a challenge and always something I have to constantly fight against. What about for you? What are some challenges you found?
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's really funny that you mentioned the whole I just wanted to say how funny that whole Netflix thing is, or like watching TV, because you're not enjoying the TV and you're not being efficient when you're coding. So it's like, wouldn't you just like rather just go full on and watch Netflix without having your computer, right, your laptop? So like if that's the case, just like step aside for like 20 minutes if that's what you want to do, or realize that you need to set aside time later to do that. But that's funny. Yeah. So I think the whole intertwine thing is definitely a challenge. Like for example, yesterday, so to put things into perspective, my office got the email on Sunday night. It was actually very like late at like 6 or 7 PM. Maybe, I don't know, sometime around then, that was basically like, hey, you know, all the major hubs, so San Francisco, Los Angeles, I think Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. It was like, hey, we're highly encouraging that you work from home starting on Monday. Today's Wednesday, so today would be day 3 of this remote work. So I haven't been doing it consecutively for that long, but I'm having, you know, still even now having a hard time like separating things out. So here's an example. So finally yesterday at like 1:30, I was able to like finally take a lunch. So I was like, okay, it's 1:30. I need to like be sure that I like step aside for like an hour, you know? So I grabbed lunch. I started sitting down, at my couch watching TV, away from like my office space. And I see my Slack pop up and it's one of my coworkers saying, hey, how do I get access to Iterable? And I was like, this is going to take me like 10 seconds. Let me just do this right now. Shouldn't have done that because it like blurs the line of like where work is. So I had to go to my office, my little home office space, get my work laptop, log into Iterable. And I was like, yeah, 1 second. I just sent you an invite. But like, I just want, for some reason, I like could, it was like so easy of a problem to be solved that I was like, give me a second, let me just get you that access right now. But I just feel like I need to respect my boundaries a little bit more. And I think having like restraint in doing so is like a challenge, especially when, you know, we're just like in an age where like everything is like constantly at you. It's like notifications, notifications, notifications. And, you know, you want to be able to respond to them and have like a really good response time, because like you just think like, hey, if that's me on the other side, like it would be really helpful if I, you know, got a response right away. But, you know, I don't know.
I think there's already pressure in a modern just job to respond like instantly over Slack or email or text messages. And then remote compounds that, because, you know, in your manager's mind, worst case scenario, you're watching Netflix and ignoring your phone like during work hours, like too much. And so there is this kind of like, for myself, there's this pressure to be super responsive over some of those challenges. So they know like, no, I'm like during work hours, like I'm here, I'm focused. But it's such a catch 22, because if you are super responsive to notifications, you know, especially through times like a lunch break, that's going to cut down on how effective you can be. But even if you're at your desk and you are coding, if you're instantly responding to everything inbound to you, you won't be great at writing great code. And so there's definitely that balance between those two of trying to strike that. And so that really gets to actually tips. I think the number one tip I can give on working remote that I found is get really good at notification settings and use them. Like you were describing, if you had, you know, actually like used your notification settings, like when you left your work, like snooze notifications in Slack for an hour, and then you know you're not going to be bothered. And then when your coworker sent you the message, it would say, hey, he snoozed notifications for now. He would have not expected an instant reply. Mm-hmm. You would have felt, you wouldn't have seen the notification and therefore wouldn't have had the distraction. You would have totally been able to enjoy your lunch break, and he would have been fine getting into iterable 40 minutes later or 20 minutes later or 2 hours later. It would have been fine. Like if it was really a problem, he would have called your cell phone if there was something that was really, really a problem. And so a lot of this stuff feels urgent, but it's not important. 95.5% of what comes in through Slack is not actually urgent, even though it's real-time messaging. And that's actually one of my frustrations of Slack. Like it conflates the synchronicity, like the right now, with being important. But most of what happens on Slack is not actually important right now. It's not urgent. It might be important, but it's not urgent. And so there's an urgency in this instant messaging that I don't love. And so I really try to be good at notification settings and use them. My number one pet peeve about Slack is there's no weekend settings for snooze. Like it's really nice. You can be like, okay, between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m., don't bother me. Like I'm on a date with my wife. I'm on a run. Like I don't want to be bothered between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. But there's no weekend settings of like, no, like don't ping me on the weekends or only ping me these couple hours on Saturday. It's so frustrating. They're working on it. There's like tons of Twitter threads on it. But even still, so that means on Friday, I snooze my notifications until Monday. It doesn't mean that I don't check it, but I won't be interrupted. And so get really good at notification settings, use them, schedule time. Maybe it's 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 5 times a day, whatever it is. But I would encourage you to not just like passively let it sit except for specific blocks. Do you have any thoughts on that, JP?
Yeah, I wanted to get your opinion on Slack statuses. And do you one, do you use them? And two, do people like respect them and take them seriously? Because I've found that it's so it's funny. So when my coworker pinged me, my status was actually like lunch. So from his perspective, he honestly probably didn't even expect a response back until like I was out from lunch. To him, it was probably just like, let me send this thing so that I don't forget. And when JP gets to it, he'll get to it. And I should have even respected my own status, which is funny because I forgot to update my status at like 3 o'clock from like lunch to, you know, working remote or whatever. And then someone pings me and says like, hey, sorry to bother you on your lunch, but like, can you take a look at this Jira ticket really quick? Whenever you get a chance. Cause like I'm on call. And so like, it's a whole thing.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I'm like, my fault. Like I'm actually not even on lunch anymore. Let me take a quick look at this like on call issue.
Yeah, totally.
So how are you on like Slack statuses, and do you respect them, and do you have like, and should I be like really diligent about updating that?
Yeah, I think it all depends on your team's culture. I definitely respect Slack statuses. I rarely set a status as indefinite. I always say like change back at, because it's really easy to forget it. And it's like the modern equivalent of like the email reply. I'm sorry, I'll be traveling from 3 weeks ago to 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like you get those and it's like, dude, your vacation's been on for months. But yeah, so I often will do like the Slack status for lunch for the hour. But honestly, I use the snooze notification feature a lot more because I never want my team to hesitate in messaging me. I want them to send me the messages because otherwise they forget. And so it's like, oh, I was going to Slack you, but then I saw you were on your lunch, so I didn't send the Slack. I'd rather they send it and then they get the little notification of like, hey, there's news right now. He'll see your message when he comes back. To me, I find that a little bit more effective. Where I do really like Slack statuses is like, for example, I traveled this weekend to Nashville, but I was working the whole trip. So I like flew out Thursday night, came back Tuesday night, but I was working, you know, on Friday and Monday while I was traveling. It's nice to have that Slack status of like, I'm working, but there's a little airplane, like it's travel days. So I'm not as instantaneous, but I am working. Like I'm working on the plane, working in the airport, I'm working, but I can't like hop into a video call. So everybody knows like when they're asking a question, it's not like, hey, can we drop on Zoom? It's more like, hey, can you look at this code real quick and provide your comment? And so I use them and like them for that kind of stuff, but it's like kind of specific. I think it really depends on your culture. But I think at the end of the day, like take responsibility for your own inbound and close Slack or use snooze. Like you can't depend on others respecting your statuses. So be better at it. And then like, I will oftentimes take a lunch, like go on a bike ride, go on a walk and just leave the phone at home. There's so much value in just like whatever notification settings, whatever garbage, just like leave it at home, like really unplug. So I it's a huge tip, I think, for any modern worker, but especially in remote, to really be good at like pruning notification settings and have that dialed in. So yeah, do you have any other thoughts on that?
No, I think that's good. But like, okay, so what I'm hearing actually is there's a whole world of Slack etiquette, but what I think it really boils down to and what it distills down to is having the team be in sync with what expectations are, right? Yeah. So like you can be as diligent as you want to be on your Slack snooze schedule or like your Slack status, but there's also that option to say like send notification anyway, and you know, to also ignore your status or to like forget. What I think it comes down to, it sounds like your team has like, because you have been remote this whole time and your culture has revolved around remote culture, it seems like there's like already a mutual understanding of sort of how things are. And
for sure,
I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's like there's already expectations set and you already know going into things like, you know, if I ping John, I don't expect him to respond like right away if his status is, you know, for example. Yeah. But how do you, okay, so my like open ended like question is like, I wonder if there's going to be pain points around this for my team specifically, because, you know, we aren't used to being a remote team. You know, sometimes we do work from home, but you know, there's days that we work from home and some people are in the office, right? So it's not like we haven't fully done this ever yet, so this is like a new thing to us. So I'm curious to see if we're going to be experiencing pain points around, you know, things like communication, setting expectations, you know, just little things like that that you don't really think about when you see your coworkers every day. So
for sure,
so yeah,
I think the other thing that we do to help that is we have these passive channels that we call it water cooler. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's that just like random stuff of like, it's not an official stand up, but it's like, hey, I'm, you know, going to work at a coffee shop for 4 hours, like that kind of stuff that it's like really nice to know, like I'm outside of my home office or like, and it's like not important enough for a status update and it's not important enough for everybody to be notified. And that kind of like chatter that's actually really, really helpful. Or like, hey, I'm diving into some like heavy duty backend work. Just using my notifications for a bit. Wish me luck. Like that kind of like passive notification goes a really, really long way. And we actually literally have a channel called, you know, Water Cooler, and we've got that kind of passive notification. And that's where we have that kind of like chatter and just like general FYIs about like work logistics that are really nice. And so it's actually, instead of setting a status, that's oftentimes where I'll be like, hey, dipping out for lunch for an hour. I'm leaving my phone at home. That kind of stuff is like where I'll actually leave it. But yeah, I think the other thing that I've done that has gone a long way as a, to avoid the pain points of some of this remote work is I do office hours.
Interesting.
So I do that usually about twice a week. I'll just dip in Slack and I'll be like, hey, office hours, like I'm available for any real time async, whatever you need. And I just drop in a Zoom link and I just work with that Zoom link open and people pop in and out of that Zoom link. Some days I get no one. Some days I get like people back to back and multiple people at once, like wanting to talk to me. But it's like, that's the time that you can just kind of like talk to me, collaborate, ask a code question, ask whatever. And that's been really, really useful because I need to do one-on-ones less often and like need to like do ad hoc calls less often. Like if they're like, oh, I should like ping John about this. Like, oh, he's doing office hours tomorrow. I can talk to him then, which is really, really nice to try to consolidate kind of meetings. Cause especially managing a remote team, it's really easy for your day to just be like video call, video call, video call, video call, video call. And I'm doing my, and like, I would way rather, instead of doing like three video calls over three different days, like I would actually rather do like nine video calls back to back so that I can have like actual time to work on deep work instead of just like constantly transition between. So I think that's one of the things that is kind of a sub ticket tip in there is like office hours and try to be intentional about when you do meeting time. So I generally do, you know, all my meetings like mid morning, like between 9 and 11. That's when I try to pack all my meetings in because I get some really good early work done. I tend to work really early in the mornings and then like I know when I'm going to be working. So it's like, I can work from there. And then in the afternoons, I can go work at a coffee shop or co-working space or from a park or something. So like office hours and like trying to be intentional about when you accept meetings through a tool like Calendly is really, really useful. Yeah. Any thoughts on those two things like passive channels and office hours and schedule?
No, I love that. I love that as like a manager, you just have office hours and people can pop in and out. I think that it's like kind of funny. Like I'm like, oh man, like I want to do that. But there's like literally absolutely not no use of me doing that as like an individual contributor. But I think it would be both a little silly and actually kind of cool. Like if someone wanted to pair program with me and I just had office hours that people can pop into. But as a manager, I can see how that could be like super helpful. It's like the equivalent of being able to like walk up to your manager, tap them on the back.
Exactly.
And be like, hey, I have a quick question, which yep. I'm sure is like the function or the, like the use of having that. I wanted to ask you a little bit. So you said that you have a bunch of like video calls back to back. Do you have like a dedicated camera that you have like on top of like, as a supplement to your laptop, or are you just using your like laptop camera? So you know, obviously you and I record this podcast, so we have better microphones than just like, you know, your ear pod microphones that come like your iPhone. So you already I know you have your audio set up, but are you intentional of how your presentation looks on video, and do you think that matters?
So here, I'll start here. Yes, I have like a whole little YouTuber studio setup. I've got actually like a little key light that I can adjust the color temperature and brightness up here. I have a Logitech Brio camera, which is like a decent webcam, and I have a decent mic, but I did not do that because I'm working with a team. I did that because I had clients. And so when I'm doing a video call to sell, you know, a $50,000 app build, I need to make sure that like I sound perfect, I look as good as I can, and that it's not just like a webcam garbage. That's like they can do a call with me and I look like a technology expert. It's not like this grainy, weird signal. It's like, no, my internet connection's rock solid. I look great. Even like my environment like looks halfway professional with like some nice plants and things. If I was to just start my job today, I would have cut out the light, the additional webcam, and just kept the mic, I think. Because the most important part of a video call isn't necessarily the video. Like half the time you're screen sharing anyway. And like, it's okay if it's a grainy video call. Your audio though, that people can hear you really, really well, is incredibly important. So investing in a mic or a decent Bluetooth headset that's got good mics, I feel like is really, really important, especially as like a remote employee. I don't think you need like a whole video light and webcam and all this stuff, but I do like, I had done in my previous job, like a lot of like handoff recordings where I would do a screen recording and it would show the platform. And it's like, I wanted that to have some level of production to it. And it was a couple hundred bucks to like make sure it's dialed in. I will drop in into like the setup tips that we'll go through in a second of all that I have in terms of a setup. But if you're not working with clients, I don't think it's necessary at all. Or you don't have like tricky lighting situations like I do. Like I love having all my windows and sliding door open, which makes it really bright, which means that if I don't have this light on, I look really dark and everything's like really weirdly backlit and it gets like this weird grainy like angel in front of heaven. And JP's seeing that, he's shaking his head and seeing me turn off my light. But if I have this light, like it makes everything look a little bit better. But what about you, JP? What does your setup look like? And what do you feel like is essential being an employee, which is like different than like selling work or being a manager remotely?
Yeah. So I like to have a very simple setup. Just like historically, I've talked about not having a monitor, not having an external monitor, having an external monitor. So for me, I like to keep my desk very organized. Like I don't like feeling like I'm going into chaos.
Yeah.
Which is very true of my desk at in the office as well. Like my work's office is I have like a notebook, like a little Moleskine where I like jot down all of my notes and actually sort of like plan my day. And so like
if people
like ping me with something and I like need to remember it, I like writing it down. It's like, hey, can you remember to like fill out the analytics chart before our meeting at 11 a.m. And I'm like, yeah, sure, let me I know that I can't get to that now, but if I write that down in Slack as like a reminder to myself, like if I ping myself on Slack with that, or if I, you know, I put it in a reminder in like some notes app,
yeah,
it's going to get lost. So for me, I like to have a notebook that, you know, with basically pen and paper handy and a single monitor that I can like plug into. So I guess like a dual monitor setup.
Yeah.
And to me that those are just like the two essential things. I think also having like a very neat environment is like very important. And to me that just gets me in like, I'm doing air quotes, like the zone. So I feel like I'm in, like in the zone when I have those two things. Because like if I don't have a notebook and like if I'm not able to just jot something down really quickly and take notes, I feel like almost like anxious, like I'm missing something. Because like if I miss something, I'm like, now I have to open up, I don't know, like I have to open up like a new editor and like jot notes down. And like I also like to keep my workspace very like organized. Like I'm not like I'm not like having a billion tabs open in Chrome kind of person.
Yeah, me too.
So I think that just like speaks more towards like me as like a total neat freak in every single thing that I do. But I also think that it's important for like your workspace. I don't know. I think there's something to say about working like it's like different working remote than working in the office. Like I think like having a messy desk at your, you know, at your work's office versus like having a messy situation at home is maybe different, but I don't want to like blanket statement speak for like everybody. Yeah. Maybe that's
like
not
some
true.
People work in that chaotic environment. Like that's where they thrive. Yeah. I think talking about workspace for a second, we mentioned we both have a dedicated workspace, like with closing doors. Mm-hmm. And I think that's obvious that that is a luxury, especially like living in California or another place that it's expensive. You may not have the benefit of having that, but I think either way, I think anybody can have like, this is the corner of the breakfast bar that I work, or like, this is the desk that I work in the room. Like, even if it's in a shared room that you have, like, this is the physical space where I do work is really important. Even if that's like having to set up a folding table in your living room, like that's what you set up in the morning and then that's what you work from. And then you take it down when you're not working. I think as much as you can have a dedicated space, it's really, really important. And I think it's an interesting concept, what you're talking about like your notebook versus your laptop. Like in a way, your notebook is the dedicated place for like your to-dos. And it's interesting because even just having a separate object representing the context shift really helps to pull back into the different contexts. And I think this idea of a multi-use device is actually not good the way human brain works. Like we lose our sense of space when we have these multi-use device. So I really like this idea that you have this notebook. But I think the same goes for your workspace. And if you can't have a dedicated workspace, at minimum, try to have a dedicated device. So try to be that you work on your work laptop and maybe just get like a cheap old iPad. Like that's what you just like lounge and watch Netflix on. I think it's like such a difficult thing to do to have, you know, a Pinterest browsing and YouTube watching device be the same thing that you're trying to be productive on day to day, the exact same device. it just doesn't work for my brain. I can't do it. And so I, you know, unless I'm doing like, I'm doing like a bathroom renovation right now, and I will do some of that work on my work computer, because it's like, okay, this is like, I'm in work mode doing this bathroom renovation and planning this. But if I'm not working, doing work, like I don't use my work laptop. And I think that minimum having that is a useful kind of context cue for people working. So I think having that dedicated space or device is really, really important.
Yeah, it sounds to me like the theme is almost like being able to trick yourself that you're going to work, even totally. Though you're going to be at home, right?
Yeah, because like getting dressed every morning and having that dedicated workspace, like all those things are so, so important.
Mm-hmm. It's like you need to find the balance of like when you're no longer at home, right? Because like you are at home, you're doing work, but you can't really be productive if you feel like you're at home. So you need to like do all these things to trick yourself into being able to focus. I just think that's an interesting thing that as human beings, we have to like trick ourselves to like not just sit on the couch and watch Netflix for 3 hours and then occasionally check in on Slack, right? Because that's like every manager's worst nightmare. That's what every manager thinks.
Is fearing. That's what every manager thinks we're doing, yeah.
Okay, so I quickly want to like just sort of like briefly go over some of these tips we've talked about, which is like basically just like get ready every morning, you know, set the stage for the environment, like for your environment. Have like a dedicated machine, right? Like, you know, I'm fortunate enough that I have like a work laptop. So my work laptop only has work things. I don't have like personal repositories on there. Like I don't even have like Spotify on there. Like I just use my phone for that because, you know, otherwise you start to like also blur the lines of like what's work and what's personal. So I think all of the things we're talking about are like making sure that the line isn't blurred of like, where is my personal space and where is my workspace? Like in like a sentence, that's basically, that's like the goal of what you try to accomplish.
Yep. Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So let's talk through a little bit of tools. Like, have you found some good tools that are helpful in even just these couple days of working remote? Like for me, one of my favorite tools is I love having it. I might not always, but I love having a standing desk for me that like lets me change my, even though I'm in the same space, I can like sit and stand and it makes me feel a little less loafy throughout the whole day. And I feel like I drink less coffee and I just feel better overall. And then I always praise and use constantly Loom. Like I record screen recordings. Honestly, maybe a dozen times a day, I record a quick Loom and like send it to someone or to a channel of like what I'm working on, updates. Like it's the equivalent of like going to someone's computer and showing them something real quick or having them look over your shoulder. So those are probably like my two favorite remote tools is standing desk and Loom. What about for you? Have you found some good tools or tips and tricks?
Yes. Okay. So one of my picks is actually going to be this like new GitHub notification thing I found. So previously on this podcast, I've talked about this tool called Gitify. Which is just this like little tiny widget thing, but I found an even better GitHub notification system called Trailer. And what Trailer does is it lets you basically configure which notifications you want to be notified of. So like I can choose like the specific repository, and I can basically say like, hey, I want to be notified on like all pull requests, or I want to be notified on only things I mentioned in. And it like constantly pulls. So it feels like more real time. And so what it does is it adds like a little icon in your top menu bar for Mac users of like all pull requests and all issues. So my current settings have like issues that I'm tagged in and issues that I've started. And every time there's like activity on it, it will notify me within, I don't know, like minutes of it happening. And I think that's just so important as someone who has to like, you know, do code review and like, you know, sort of like be on call at all, not on call at all times, but like it's harder now when you're not in the same office where normally you'd be like, hey, can you take a look at my pull request? Like you like tap someone on the shoulder, right? Which may or may not be like a healthy, like habit, but having this thing be able to notify me when someone tags me in like a pull request is like super easy because then I could just be like, oh, like I have like, I could like jot down in my notebook, like, oh, I needed like do code review on John's pull request, like later on. Like I know that I got tagged and you know, he doesn't have to worry about like pinging me on Slack, telling me like, hey, can you look at this? Mm-hmm. So that is really useful for me. And also it's really funny is Cloud App, which we talked about the last time we had a conversation about like cool tools. I use Cloud App specifically for its notation. Like you can add little notes on it and like draw little arrows, which I think really is like hilarious when I get one back and there's like a huge arrow pointing at something that like was
it's like self-evident. You don't need to put the arrow on it.
Yes, but sometimes I'm like I think the arrow is silly, but sometimes without it I'm like, what am I looking at? So it's like a catch 22, right? Because it's like without the arrow, you know, I don't want to like insult their intelligence, but you know, without the arrow, is it like not going to be obvious? I don't know. So I use that, and I know that you can record GIFs too, I think, but I actually use Giphy to record my GIFs.
Yeah, I've been using Cloud App for GIFs because like it's a little less fiddly. Like Giphy has like some fiddly stuff. You have to like think about the export settings and things, which is nice from time to time. But actually Cloud App is just a little bit slicker. It's just you just kind of do it and it just goes. That's what I've found. But yeah, I love doing GIFs. It's so nice. Because because with Giphy, there's like the additional step of like dragging into Slack and then having it upload and process, where you do Cloud App and you just share the link and it's done. Like it's out. Like I love this idea of like passive upload. That's one of my favorite things about Loom. It's like, yeah, I could turn on QuickTime and do it, but then like I have to upload it to YouTube or upload that to Slack, where with Loom, it starts the upload when you start the video. Like that's the innovation there, that by the time you're done recording, the upload's basically finished. And Cloud App does the same thing in that it like starts uploading before you even realize it. That's like one of my favorite stories about Instagram, of why they feel like it was so popular. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
So Instagram's big innovation, this is a little bit of a rattle. Instagram's big innovation was that instead of selecting your photo and filling it all out in one step, you select your photo and then the next step you fill out the metadata. But while you're filling out all that metadata, the photo was uploading in the background. And so the app felt so freaking fast because you never waited for your images to post. Because by the time you're done filling out all the information, all it had to do was send an update request to update the metadata against the photo, like the title and the captions and the hashtags and stuff.
Wow. Those sneaky developers. Where
every other app like had you do it all at once and then you hit submit and then you just like were waiting for your photo to upload. And this is back in the days of 3G and 2G, like really slow connections. And so like the speed at which the interactivity happened was so important. And I think that's such a cool hack. And it's interesting that we don't think about that stuff more. Like Loom came out and it was like a game changer because it was like, oh, this is so quick and easy. Why is this so quick and easy? It's like, well, it like WebRTC and like uploads as you record, which is like so cool. I don't know why we don't do that more. I love that concept.
Wow, that's a little fun fact for the day.
Yeah. All right. Well, we stopped talking about remote work, so I guess that's the end of our episode. I hope that these tips help you guys as far as like staying healthy, especially with this coronavirus shit going around. Stay healthy, stay working remote. Hopefully these couple tips help you stay more productive as you go through. Do you have any other picks for us, JP, before we wrap up the episode?
Yes. I had zero last time, and so I promised I would have more.
Oh, nice.
So I have a couple, and I'll drop the links into them in the thing. But
into the show notes. The thing is the show notes.
Yes, in the show notes. Sorry, I realize how sometimes not specific I'm being, and it's like hilarious as the words are coming out of my mouth. Okay, so another pick I have is this GitHub repository that makes it really easy to add Google fonts into your app. If you have like a JavaScript app or even a Rails app, so you like add it through an NPM module. So normally what you can do to add a Google font is you go to like fonts.google.com and you find the font and then you could like put the style sheet and it's like through a CDN whatever.
This is awesome.
Yes. So what this repository is it basically has like all the Google fonts uploaded and you just like NPM install the typeface or yarn add the typeface, and then you just like require it into like Webpack and then boom, it's there. So like you don't have to like do the whole thing where you like, oh shit, well now I need like the bold version, so now I need to go back to fonts.google.com and then like add the like the font weight of 800 into like my little import thing. So this is like a nice solution to that. And I was like, there has to be a better way of doing this. Lo and behold, there is. You can just yarn add the font into your project.
Yeah. Well, and the big benefit here is that you're no longer pulling it down from Google services, which has a lot of benefits. But the number one benefit is it's going to be way faster because you're not doing an additional HTTP request to a different server. You're just doing it from your own. So that's huge. You can do your own caching layer on top of that and everything else. The other thing is like you're giving Google less data. Someone mentioned this the other day, and I didn't realize this, that the reason Google hosts Google Fonts and has this great is because they get even more information about websites. And I was like, whoa, shit, that's crazy. Like they understand page loads and what, like so much more information around how websites are being used. Like not just like what fonts are being used. They don't care about that, but it's about like the overall traffic of websites. They get a lot more nuanced data. And even sites that like don't have Google Analytics set up, which is very few, but even on top of that, they probably have a Google font loaded. So I actually like this for two reasons. Number one, definitely being the speed, but number two, just giving the Google machine less data. Anywhere I can give the Google machine less data is great. So, okay, my pick is a bit weird and I usually try to make them tech related. This one is not at all. I had the goal this weekend because I did some traveling. I was with family this weekend. Like that's a big benefit of remote work. Like I went and saw my family this weekend and spent the whole weekend with them, but I worked on Friday and Monday remotely from their place. And it was like, great. So just got more time with family. And if I wasn't working remote, I probably wouldn't have gone just for the weekend to Nashville, but it's like, I could make it a 4 or 5 day trip because I worked remote. But anyway, my goal this weekend was to read a book just for fun. Like it has nothing to do with my job. It's just a novel. So I actually like, I was like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the most like top 40 book place I can think of and just randomly pick a book off the shelf. And so I went to Target because I thought like, if a book's in Target, it's like going to be popular. It's going to be like a decent book. Right. And I just like picked up a novel and it was like this book by Bobby Hall. And like, I started reading it and as I actually started reading the book, I realized Bobby Hall is Logic, the rapper, which was like
so funny.
Yeah, it's really funny. But like, this was the weirdest kind of poorly written, really fun read. And like, it took me like 4 hours to read and I just like really enjoyed it. It's just like weird, mind-bending thing about this crazy guy who works at a grocery store. It's called Supermarket is the name of the book. So if you're looking for just like a fun read, a random novel that's like not amazingly written, but somehow still really charming and cool, is Supermarket. He does this weird stuff. Like he talks about writing the book as he's writing it. He's like, oh shit, that paragraph didn't make a lot of sense. Whatever. Fuck it. And just like keeps writing. Whoa, and it's like so different. It's like really, it was like super engaging and it was a really fun read. So that's my pick.
Cool. Yeah, that's funny that you said Bobby Hall, and I had no idea who that is. And then you said Logic, and I was like, oh, that's what he looks like, because I'm like looking at the link. I had no idea. That's just how out of touch I am with
hip-hop. Yeah, I didn't either until I like started reading it, and I was like, oh, weird. I like saw on the back, it's like Logic, an acclaimed rapper. I was like, oh, so weird. All right, whatever. Anyway, all right. Well, it was so great to hang out with you guys. Again, stay safe with coronavirus going around. Hope you're productive in your remote work. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you. Talk to you guys next time. Peace.